Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. In today's episode, we're diving into positive pay and its indispensable role in organizational security. We're going to explore the current landscape and shed light on why positive pay is an absolute necessity for businesses of all sizes. Joining me today is Bruce Dragoo, Manager Solutions Consulting at Q2, and John Bile, SVP Product Development at Mercantile Bank. And we also have Albert Bildin, Director of Commercial and Enterprise Payments, joining us from Javelin Strategy and Research. They're going to address the concerning trend of low adoption rates surrounding positive pay and speak to the various barriers hindering its widespread implementation. It's great to have you with us all today. To start things off, let's set the scene first. Bruce, what's the current state of positive pay and why do we need it?
Thanks, Rima, and I appreciate the time to be able to speak to everybody today. You know, the stories we're hearing here at Q2 and from our customers and prospects, you know, during presentations, during our trade shows and things like that is, you know, check fraud continues to be on the rise. I mean, the number of checks are still continuing to go down, but the fraudsters are getting very creative, right? So they're still out there stealing checks from mailboxes or stealing mail trucks as well throughout that entire process also. And they're then taking those checks and selling them to fraudsters who can then, you know, wash payee names, change dollar amounts, different things like that. And that continues to be on the rise. I mean, here at Q2, we offer a great positive pay solution. You know, in 2022, we saw numbers around $720 million of fraud identified and stopped by our positive pay solution that incorporates over about 550 financial institutions. You know, just last year, it doubled to $1.4 billion. So just showing you the rate of growth at that point. I took a look at our numbers so far this quarter, and you know, we're on rate right now to be to stop over $2.5 billion in fraud. So it's not going away. Checks continue to be a target of fraud ever since the pandemic, and definitely something that we're seeing here at Q2 with our existing customers. John, I know at your financial institution, you have stories of this as well. Can you kind of tell us what you're seeing at your financial institution?
Yeah, just anecdotally, it definitely seems like it's something that is still on the rise. It seems like it's wider reaching at this point and definitely coming downstream to smaller businesses from where it had been historically kind of viewed as just being a large corporate sort of a need that was out there. But now it just seems like it's indiscriminate at this point and it's affecting everybody.
Yeah. And Rima, good to be on. And John, Bruce, good to be speaking with you. So just to put a point on it, I suppose 33% of commercial payments globally are still made by check, which is a huge opportunity for fraudsters. And I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but you know, when it comes to, you know, that actually being a service that is a revenue line for an organization, it certainly should be, you know, just in terms of what, as you already mentioned, Bruce, the dollars associated with check fraud, and it's going up. And we're seeing it, you know, certainly independently from what you guys are seeing, seeing it go up as well. So positive pay is a very interesting space.
Al, to your point, it is most definitely a very interesting space, but we are also seeing little adoption of it. Bruce, why are only 30% of eligible businesses using positive pay? And to kind of take that a step further, what barriers exist, you know, preventing wider adoption, and how can financial institutions address them?
Sure. Thanks, Rima. You know, it's an interesting question. And, you know, a couple of different things that stop some businesses from utilizing positive pay is that their financial institution really doesn't offer a great solution. So there are solutions out there that do just check. There's some that do just ACH positive pay, but they don't cover the gamut of what a business may need. So in some cases, having a great technology provider that can provide not only check, but ACH positive pay along with great reporting and full reconcilement capabilities is a little bit of a barrier to some of these institutions signing up for a full breadth of what they need. In addition, it's about being either reactive or proactive in regards to the financial institution selling positive pay. So a lot of the times at financial institutions, what I'll hear is that, hey, the only time that they sell positive pay to a customer is when they've had check fraud on their account and they're being reactive to the situation. So, you know, while that's one way to sell positive pay at Q2, we're more about being proactive about selling positive pay, talking to your customers ahead of time when they come in to open that checking account and identifying them as a small business or a corporate client and saying, hey, you need this type of protection. We have a great solution for you that we can help identify and stop check fraud before it even happens at that point. So definitely being more proactive, communicating more broadly at that point to your customers is one of the things that we're seeing where adoption is low because they're not communicating. And at Q2, we try to help our customers by sharing that type of education with them and giving them talking points on how to have those conversations. John, I know at your financial institution, you have a high adoption of Positive Pay, and you've done a number of things over the years to get that high adoption. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, how that works at your financial institution?
Yeah, I certainly can talk to this a bit for what we've done. I mean, we've offered this for a number of years, first off, and we've gone through the evolution of being reactive to it. And only bringing it up when we've had check fraud or a customer is asking about it. But part of what we've realized with this whole process is that many customers are not aware of what Positive Pay is or why they might need or want it. So we need to be creating the awareness for our customers around this and being able to help them understand the just how would they go about implementing something along these lines. And I would say for our frontline staff, instilling in them the confidence that the solution that we offer is a strong solution that they should be proud of and that can be able to protect our customers as well. And to your point, Bruce, I mean, you know, I've worked for institutions where we haven't had a great solution in place that hasn't been very user-friendly to work with and be able to take advantage of on a daily basis. And thankfully, you know, we have a solution today that is user-friendly and adaptive to our customers so we can remove those barriers to entry for them and just to try to smooth this out and make it as an easy a process as possible.
Yeah, and you know, the best way to paint a value proposition for Positive Pay is the mitigation or elimination of those funds going out the door from fraud. And one other point I wanted to pick up on what you guys are saying, it's really important for certainly for the financial institutions that I'm speaking to right now to have really strong partnerships in place for doing these types of things. You know, a lot of I can't speak for your financial institution, John, but I know some of those that I work with, they are pretty limited on what they're able to do from a standpoint of supporting building out new revenue streams. And, you know, a lot of the resources are going into supporting legacy systems. So having partnering organizations like Q2, you know, other organizations out there that are really, really strong partners and enable these FIs to get into these new revenue streams and bolster, you know, the security of their, you know, their products and services that they offer to corporates is really, really a good idea.
Bruce, with over 30% of financial institutions giving Positive Pay away for free, are they inadvertently hindering their own growth? You know, what strategy should banks consider to ensure that they're not leaving potential revenue on the table?
Yeah, definitely not charging for Positive Pay, I think, is somewhat of a way of the past. Definitely a solution that should be service charged for, not only from the protection that it provides the customer, but also for the financial institutions. You know, we've done surveys before and we actually see that, you know, while 30% of the institutions are not charging for Positive Pay, of those customers that they have, 47% of them said that, yes, they would pay for Positive Pay just because they understand the value of the solution itself and helping stop any type of fraud that may be coming through their checking account. So, you know, we definitely, again, it's about the proactive selling, the discussion up front when you have with a customer to say, hey, we're going to have Positive Pay. It's going to protect you from different types of fraud. It's definitely going to also help you make a great partner of our financial institution to reduce our risk as well. But having that conversation with them up front to say we do charge for Positive Pay, while of course looking at your market conditions and understanding that, we have several of our financial institutions that actually have turned their treasury management full team into a revenue generator just by selling Positive Pay and selling it at a nominal fee of $30 to $50 an account. That's what we see on average. John, I know, again, you guys have had several experiences with starting out not charging for Positive Pay to now charging almost everybody for Positive Pay. Anything else you'd like to add to that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have been on a journey as it relates to this particular topic that's here from a fee perspective. From our standpoint, when we approach this, you know, we tend to approach this more as thinking of it like it's insurance. You pay for an insurance premium that's out there. You do this to protect yourself. This is what this product is designed to do. Our pricing structure and the way we've chosen to approach this with our customers has been more from that standpoint and not being punitive by nickel and diming them for each little tick mark that happens as part of the Positive Pay process, but rather looking at it as a holistic product instead that can protect the customer and our customers seem to respond very well to that.
Yeah, I was just going to just add one small point, but going back to what I said on the previous topic, but I think it's really easy to build revenue models for positive pay, taking into account, again, the mitigation of the fraud losses. You know, even if we're, you know, partnering with somebody from the outside, you know, if it's on the approach that the partner is using, let's say it's transactional, it's pretty easy to cover those transactional costs, again, by eliminating those fraud dollars that are going out the door. So in my estimation, it's a pretty hard revenue stream to turn down if you really look at it.
Let's talk about reactive versus proactive selling. You know, how are reactive sales strategies contributing to the adoption rates of positive pay? John, what proactive measures can financial institutions take to better educate businesses about the serious threat that fraud poses and the broader value proposition of positive pay?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, as a financial institution, you can't assume that your customer base knows or understands what positive pay is and how this can protect them. And to just start from that standpoint of assuming that they haven't had the experience of knowing what positive pay is and how this can protect them overall really makes a great launching point for the conversation with your customers as you're trying to explain what your specific capabilities are and the approach that we can take as their particular FI to help them truly protect themselves from this fraud that's here and what just how easy it can be to implement it, I think would be another piece to go along with that.
Yeah, and while you can't necessarily mandate the product to the customers, I think that organization can put things in place to get pretty close to it almost, you know, to paint how important positive pay is. I mean, it's something that organizations should not be without.
You've all really set the stage in terms of what the current state of positive pay looks like, as well as the benefits of it. For those that are tuning in and listening in, you know, what steps can financial institutions and technology providers take to improve the adoption of positive pay? You know, Bruce, how can they collaborate to make the product more accessible and compelling for businesses, ultimately increasing its uptake and generating new revenue streams?
Yeah, thanks, Rima. I think there's about, you know, four or five essential items that our financial institutions can do to roll out a good positive pay solution and increase that adoption. I mean, number one, roll out a great solution that has both check and ACH positive pay in it, has great pay name match, reporting, self-service for the customer so that it's a great experience for them, but also for your financial institution, so it doesn't increase the burden of whatever they're doing in the back office. You know, John talked about this a lot, you know, sell positive pay more proactively. Talk to your customers as they're opening up an account, educate them in regards to what the check fraud scenario looks like out there. Maybe they haven't encountered or, you know, fraud at this point in time, but educate them on them and then give them that broader value proposition to say, hey, we have a great solution. We can help you partner with you to stop check and ACH fraud. And at that point in time, share with them that value proposition and don't leave money on the table. Service charge for the solution. It's a good solution. It's protecting the financial institution. It's also protecting you as a customer. And there is a value for that solution. So make sure that you're not leaving money on the table, that you are service charging for that type of a solution. And John, I'll kick it back over to you to say any additional comments in regards to how you guys have been successful and in adopting such a positive pay solution like you do today.
You know, I think part of what where our success has come from has just been in helping our staff understand who our customers are and what sorts of fraud scenarios we're seeing taking place in the market area. When you can make it more real to people or like help them understand what's truly happening, that this isn't something that's happening on one of the coasts. You know, this is happening in everywhere that's here. It is happening around the corner where, you know, this mail truck has been, you know, robbed, or, you know, these people, you know, had dropped stuff in their mailbox and put the flag up and just walked away and didn't even realize how quickly or the people would have the audacity to just go and take that stuff out of there. You know, it's just a different world that we live in, and just creating that awareness around there about just simple tasks that people can do to protect themselves, but also the fact that it's happening every single day all around you.
And I just wanted to emphasize again the importance of partnering. It's one of the strongest recommendations that we're making at Javelin in the commercial enterprise practice area, that you have to moving forward in 24 and subsequent years, you have to be partnering again into areas like this that I would hazard to say perhaps that, you know, legacy bank structures are not really set up to do well moving forward. So, and I actually throw this back to you, Bruce and John, if you wanted to comment. I'm just curious to know any thoughts on your strategies as far as partnering with each other. Were there any particular things that you looked out for that made this a match that was pretty good?
I'll jump in first. I mean, really, from as a Q2 customer, in my perspective, the biggest thing that's here is having a partner who is willing to listen to you and is willing to engage in the conversation and just wants to make their product better and wants to listen to the feedback of their customers. I think that's been huge to be able to know what's happening in your neck of the woods and what you're coming up against and what other FIs that they work with, how they're implementing their best practices, and just having that collective learning going on makes such a huge difference in our case.
Yeah. And John, to your point, it's, you know, you're talking about partnering with us, but it's also partnering with you, right? So you're the one that's bringing us the ideas. You're bringing us what is happening in the market that we may not be seeing. We appreciate that partnership so that we can develop leading edge technology and make sure that we can help identify and stop fraud in the future. So, you know, some of the things, of course, Q2 is looking at is enhancing our pay name match to make it even better than it is today, to also embed like AI technology into the solution to help not only your customers, but your frontline staff to sell positive pay to your existing customers and prospects. So those types of ideas and feedback that we receive from our clients and prospects only allows us to make the product better.
Thank you all so much for sharing your insights and perspective. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.